The Gestalt Gardener podcast is brought to you by Varicosity Vein Center, providing health assessment screenings and compassionate care to improve your vascular functionality and quality of life. Our doctors and vein specialists offer solutions to painful varicose veins, spider veins, and other venous diseases to our patients. Now offering complimentary vein screenings in Jackson, Madison, and Ridgeland. Information and appointment scheduling at varicosityveincenter.com.
Good morning, good morning. Ain't it a great morning outside? Yeah, to be in a magnolia state, the magnolias are blooming, they're flying everywhere. We're going to have a good time for the next hour or so, folks. You've tuned into the Gestalt Gardener. It's a production of a local production of Mississippi Public Broadcasting. One of many we have here all during the week. And today we're going to talk about gardening. I'm your host, horticulturist Felder Rushing. Got Java Chapman, got Kevin Farrell in there, being the phone greeter. For the next hour or so, relax a little bit. If you got something on your mind, we'll talk about it because it is a live program. If you want to kick around some ideas about some things a little controversial, I'm okay. I don't sell anything. I don't have an agenda. I'm a gardener just like you are. Sometimes I garden without any, well, with a robe on. Tomorrow is World Garden Naked Day. We're not going to go there, but we can sure talk about it. Stick with us, folks. Got a little news. We're going to come back with MPB's Gestalt Gardener and Get Dirty right after this.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. To hear previous shows, visit mpbonline.org or download the MPB Public Radio app to listen on your iPhone or Android phone on demand.
Okie dokie, folks. Welcome back. Horticulture's Felder Rushing. We're going to have fun for the next hour or so. Our topic is gardening, but, you know, that's the topic. If you want to tie anything into it, let's have a good time. It's your yard, it's your garden, it's your shrubs, your lawn, your vegetables, your potted plants, whatever, you know. But we have this little group, an informal group here at MPB, actually throughout the state, throughout the world, throughout history. It's called Diggers, D-I-G, apostrophe R, Diggers, Determined Independent Gardeners. Determined individual gardeners. Don't know. Individual, independent, you tell me. But diggers, we're the people who like to garden. And some of us belong to clubs and plant societies. Some of us are in garden club, master gardeners. But when we get home, we garden by ourselves. And some of us think about stuff that's not club related. And a lot of folks don't join clubs. They like to garden. They like to dig. They don't mind sharing plants and stuff and even talking about their plants. Don't want to be in a committee, don't want to have dues, don't want to have regular meetings, don't want to have to get dressed up, don't have to worry about socials, whatever. Just plain old diggers, and that's what we are here at MPB. It's a party where you don't have to wear any clothes, which is a good thing because tomorrow is World Garden Naked Day. And so if you listen to this rebroadcast on Saturday, I hope you're enjoying yourself. Luckily, it's going to be overcast, so you don't have to worry about sunburn. Anyway, for the next hour, let's just talk about gardening, folks. It's a call-in program. Toll-free 1-877-MPB-RING. Got quite a few things going on. Not a lot, but some plant sales and a couple of events going on. And I'm going to talk about those. But let me throw out a couple of things first. First of all, I found my first magnolia in Jackson. I've seen them blooming on the coast. I've seen them pop around. But I picked a magnolia today from a Little Gem. Little Gem is a dwarf magnolia. Looks like a magnolia. It is a magnolia. Got the same real shiny medium top green leaves, a brown furry bottom of the leaves, beautiful flower, fragrant, citrusy fragrant, and it'll fit in your yard. It's like a big camellia. It's a great plant for people that don't have much yard or you think that magnolias are too big and a lot of leaf litter. Anyway, I see them full bloom right now, and I'm thinking, wouldn't it be great holding this thing, smelling, looking at it, thinking of the history and the fact that since 1949, we've had a flower, a magnolia on every historic marker in the Magnolia State. Wouldn't it be great to have this on our flag? Don't want to get into politics, but I'm just throwing that out. One other thing, roses and chocolate for Mother's Day. Mother's Day. You got a mother, got somebody thinking about any kind of Mother's Day celebration. MPB wants to help. We will deliver roses and chocolate to Mom anywhere. If you'll call in, or no, not call in, go to our website, go to mpbonline.org, and they have this thing about, I forget what it's called, Java, what's it called? I can't remember the name of it. That's the link.
You have to click support.
Support.
Go to mpbonline.org and click support. It's in the right top-hand corner of the of the website. Or if it's on the app, just click the support button.
Yeah, and that's today, tomorrow, Sunday, up until the end of May the 5th, which is Cinco de Mayo, end of May the 5th, because I got to get these orders out. It's a $125 gift to MPB. We will send her roses and chocolate anywhere, but you got to go online this weekend, today, tomorrow, or Sunday.
Which is really a good deal because you'll spend that much on the roses and chocolate alone, but you also get to give that gift to MPB Think Radio.
Yeah, and plus, you don't have to go shopping for it. We'll do it for you. Hope it's some good chocolate. I might order one just for me. Anyway, there's quite a few things going on, but before we get to that, let's just jump right in and do what we do best, and that's to talk with folks. We're going to go to Don, and Don is from Long Branch, right? No, Long Beach. Do I need to push a button? Don, are you there?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, howdy. Yeah, I started to push a button, and Java said, no, don't do it. What's going on?
Hey, this is a reference to compost. Things possibly not to throw in there. Ashes from a wood burner.
Uh-huh.
Did you throw that in the compost or no?
The only thing I won't put in a compost is broken glass.
Okay.
You know, everything people talk about, meat, weeds, ashes, whatever, it gets diluted. It's not really that big a deal. I don't think I would use mostly ash, but if you want to scatter some on top of your compost, it is no problem whatsoever.
Hey, the second one is pine needles, putting them like around the blueberries and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Is that something you got to change out seasonal? Like you should pull the old ones off and throw in some new ones?
Well, yes and no. A lot of people use pine straw because it's convenient and it's pretty and it's somewhat acidic, but it takes a long time to break out. It's real waxy, so it takes a long time for pine straw to actually break down into something that's useful to plants. So I would mulch with just regular chopped tree leaves or bark or something like that and then top with pine straw if it looks good. But to answer your question, if you use just pine straw, after a while it tends to mat down. Sometimes it gets this kind of a white or yellowish fungus mold that grows in it. It's not harmful to plants, but it can make it where water can't penetrate through it. So at the very least, if you're going to freshen it up every year, take a rake and just rake the old stuff back, push it back on, and then retop. In other words, rough it up before you top dress it with some fresh stuff.
All righty. Hey, thank you.
Oh, those are good questions. You're not going to push back on any of them?
Nope. Well, strong in the compost, I guess that's all right.
Well, again, here's the deal. The idea for compost is pile stuff up so it'll break down into compost. Mm-hmm. And magnolia leaves and holly leaves and pine needles, they take a long time to break down. So if you're going to do that, if you could chop them up, run the mower over, anything to break them up first, it'll help them decompose more quickly. That's the only drawback, is they take a long time to break down. So mix them with a lot of other stuff and you're fine.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Appreciate it, Don. I hear people all the time saying, you can't put this in compost. Don't put weeds in your compost because it'll put weeds in your garden. Excuse me. I already got those weeds in my garden. Not that big a deal. Don't put meat in a compost. I put a raccoon in mine. A raccoon, and it turned into compost. So anyway, what they mean is be neat, be considerate. If you're going to put something like that in it, put it kind of deep so it doesn't really bother the neighbors. Now let's go to... Gene is calling from Jackson. Hey, Gene, good morning.
Good morning, Phil. Love your show.
Thank you, sir.
I've got a problem. I was hoping that maybe you or some of our listeners could maybe help me.
Okay.
I'm having a problem with the bull nets.
Oh, man.
I mean, this year they are really, really bad, and I love being outside in my garden and working outside and. I mean, it has gotten a problem that my wife just can't even go outside once she's bitten or whatever it is that they do. It is leaving some terrible.
Yeah, whether you call them black gnats or bull gnats or buffalo gnats, they're really aggressive. They're type of little fly, and luckily, they don't last all summer. They would have been a little bit earlier. It had been hotter by now, and they disappear when it gets hot. Mm-hmm. So usually, it's just for a month or 4, 5, 6 weeks or so, and then they go away. So that's
right.
the good news. The bad news is there's not much you can do about it. One bit me on the top of my ear, and my ear swelled up so much it stuck straight out.
That's what's my problem.
One bite, and it takes 4 or 5 days for it to go down. There's not much you can do about it except putting meat tenderizer. A couple of things. They are definitely, according to entomologists, they're definitely attracted to dark clothing. So if she's going to be outside, something long sleeve, white blouse, something like that. That'll help a little bit. And then she's going to need to put some kind, and they'll go through a strong wind, so a fan wouldn't keep them away. There are several different insecticides that work okay. Matter of fact, we've got a thing in my neighborhood where people send questions around each other, and I hear all sorts of stuff. And I've heard this stuff. I haven't used it before, but it's called Buggin's, B-U-G-G-I-N. Never heard of it, but of all the things that everybody saying, including people who fish, people who play golf, people are out there with these gnats, they keep saying Buggin's, and I don't know anything about it, but apparently it's, you know, Ace Hardware is a lot of place covered. I don't sell the stuff. It doesn't matter to me, but a regular DEET just seems to attract them.
Okay, thank you so much.
Anyway, they should be gone after a while, you know, but unfortunately they're out, and the only time of year when it's decent for us to be outside.
That is correct.
You know, with this being the National Barbecue Month, you know, the black gnats are just not any fun. Anyway, good luck on it.
Thank you so much.
All right, appreciate it. All righty. No, the black gnats, buffalo gnats, bull gnats are tiny little flies, and they are fierce, and they leave a welt. I mean, it's like poison ivy. All sorts of repellents. Apparently, the natural ones work okay. Don't know what this thing called Buggin's, but a lot of people in our neighborhood have recommended it. I'm going to give it a try. You know, that's not a scientific or an official recommendation. It's just whatever it takes. Okay, now let's go to Brian calling from Columbia. Hey, Brian, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Felder.
Howdy.
Howdy there.
What's up?
I have just removed my patio deck. It was wood.
Yeah, me too.
I dropped down about a foot, and I'm now putting in a concrete slab.
Yeah.
I have a hedge of gardenia that's about 30 years old, mm-hmm. and it was on the border of one side, and it's too high. So I need to trim it, but it's an old hedge, and the undergrowth, you know, is pretty bare and exposed on one side now where the railing went out.
Yeah.
And I need to come down about 18 inches, 2 feet. Is that too severe of a cut?
No, as a matter of fact, you need to come down below that, because wherever you make a cut, Brian, it doesn't matter whether it's here, there, or over there, wherever you make a cut, the new growth comes out right there, and it's going to grow up. So you need to cut it below where you want it to grow up to. Luckily, gardenias, you can cut those to just a bare stub, a foot, foot and a half tall, and it will sprout back out, just like a boxwood or an azalea, anything. It takes a little, the further back you cut it, the longer it takes, the more you're going to, cuss me, the more your neighbor's going to talk about you, but it will come back out. It's really important if you do that, though, Brian, when the growth does come back, a month, 5, maybe 6 weeks, when it gets a few inches long, snip the tips off of it so it in turn bushes out instead of shooting up overhead. But it's
so
gonna,
a second cut.
Yeah, that second cut, otherwise the long, skinny things will shoot up 3 or 4 feet tall. And so if you just cut the new growth when it gets a few inches tall, it will bush out or let it get over the height you want and then, you know, sort of cut in that shrub shape. It won't hurt it. It's called rejuvenation. I wish we could do it to our attitudes.
Right. So when do you suggest I do that this summer?
The sooner the better. You know, the sooner you do it, the quicker they can put out new growth. Have they already done this patio thing yet?
Oh, no. Well, the patio's done, but they're in full bud right now, so I'm going to wait till after they bloom.
Well, think about this. Like, what? How many have you got?
There's 6 in the row.
Cut the two on the end and one in the middle, or the two, the second and the fourth one, and then when they start putting out, cut the other ones.
Okay. All right. Perfect. Just stagger the cuts.
It's called layering, and don't be scared.
Okay,
but you can't hurt it by cutting it hard. You can't.
All right, great. Good to know. I appreciate it.
Oh, I got to ask you this: you got to color? You got to paint your concrete thing?
No, I'm going to score a pattern of a chessboard in it. In a large, it's about a 20x20 patio.
Uh-huh.
I thought I'd put in a big pattern of checkerboard.
Yeah. Well, the reason I'm asking, if you wanted to, you could mix latex paint with water, about one part paint to 4 or 5 parts water, and just lightly spray it on there just to give it a little bit of a glow. It could be gray, it could be green, whatever, but just give it less of that bright new concrete color, and it works like a charm. I've done this for my driveway, and it works like a charm. Just a little bit, just to sort of take that starkness off of it.
And then does it wash off over time?
No. Over a long time, it'll fade slowly. But I poured a real irregular driveway. Rick Griffin, a landscape architect, had me pour this thing, and he had me mix up some brown paint and some water, and I sprayed it. It looks like a dirt road. It's been there for
so
years.
What's the mix again? The ratio?
About one part. I don't. It's not a recipe. It's more of a concept. About one part paint to four or five parts water. And again, all you're doing is you're just lightly. You're not painting. You're just sort of staining it a little bit.
Got it.
Try it on another area first.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Have fun, Brian.
All right. Bye bye.
All right. Speaking of Rick Griffin, I had him come over, landscape architect, old friend of mine, great, great landscape, quirky in a super, super good way. Been in Southern Living like 30 or 40 times. Had him come over to help me design an entry arbor to my back garden. And I was thinking square, rectangular, he said, why not three posts and do a triangular thing with a triangular-shaped pyramid on top of some old tin? I'm thinking, yeah, that works. So we're doing that right now. Anyway, there's some things going on. We've got some callers on the line I want to get to you. But when we come back from this short break, I'm going to give an announcement of a few events that are going on. And I want to remind folks, if you go to mpbonline.org at the top, where it says support, you click on that for a $125 donation. We will send roses and chocolate to on Mother's Day to any mother anywhere. $125. You can't get any better than that, and then you're done with it. We'll be right back right after this. All righty, folks, welcome back. We've got a full lineup of callers. We're going to get right to those, but let me throw out a few things that are happening. In addition to tomorrow being World Naked Gardening Day, I'm not making this up. This celebrate however you want to. You can garden naked under your robe if you want to, but celebrate being outside. That's the important thing. But there's some events going on this weekend and next you might be interested in. One is, let me see, this could be a Tupelo Home and Garden Tour, and that's tomorrow, Saturday, and I'm going to be at it. It's going to start at 9 o'clock till about noon or so. Starts at St. Luther Methodist Church there in Tupelo. I'm going to be there with my truck with all the stuff planted in it, going to be talking with folks, you know, bring things to show and tell and scratch and sniff or whatever. It could be really informal. But then at 11:30, I'm giving a talk there at St. Luke at the church on gardening, all sorts of gardening, low input, easy container, all sorts of things about gardening. It's going to be a lot of fun. Again, 9 to noon or so, my talk is at 11:30, St. Luke Methodist Church. If you want to swing by, it'll be a lot of fun. Weather permitting, otherwise my talk's going to be indoors anyway. Also, on May the 16th, and that's coming up a little while, but I'm going to do a fun program at the Carthage Library, 6 o'clock. That's a Thursday evening, 6 o'clock. And, you know, it's been a while since I've been to Carthage, so I'm looking forward to that. We'll talk about that next week. This weekend, we've got the Gulf Coast Herb Society is having a herb event on Saturday at the Mobile Botanical Garden. Corey Garrison's doing a thing on growing and harvesting and cooking with herbs. There's going to be three plant sales that I know of. One, East Mississippi Master Gardeners at the Downtown Farmers Market in Meridian. That's by the train depot, 8 till 1. That's going to be tomorrow in Meridian. Also, the plant sale, art, and quilt show at Trinity Presbyterian Church Hospital Road in Starkville. So if there's anything else I can promote, give us a call or shoot us an email. We got plenty of time to do that. But looking forward to seeing a lot of folks in Tupelo tomorrow morning. Going to have my truck with all the stuff in the back and giving a talk at 11:30, St. Luke's Methodist Church. Now let's go to Tim, who's been holding for quite a while. Tim, what's going on?
Oh, not much of nothing.
You've been bitten by?
I wanted to talk to you about the Nazis.
Have you been bitten by them?
Oh, no, I'm an entomologist. They wouldn't dare.
Yeah, right. Yeah, they would. No. They get extra points if they bite you.
Yeah. Well, there's 24 species of those little buggers.
Yeah.
And they're actually around 12 months out of the year. They just peak in the spring and the fall when the weather's comfortable and we want to be outside.
Right. In general, when it's cooling.
The simplest thing to do to combat these things, if it's convenient to do so, is a box fan.
You know, I have a box fan and a ceiling fan on, but they seem like they go right through it. Mosquitoes stay away, but No.
These things, they're very weak flyers. If you can just keep the box fan blowing on you, They can't get to you. The same thing with mosquitoes. The mosquitoes aren't strong flyers either.
Yeah, I knew the mosquitoes weren't.
But they will keep them away.
Okay, and it's really funny because they apparently lay their eggs in moving water. So I figured that, you know, that they must fly quick because they're little streamlined boogers.
No, they're actually very weak flyers. And
okay.
A 2-3 knot wind will keep them off you.
Well, that's good to know because I use the fans for mosquitoes, and I didn't think they would work on the. But that's great information.
Yeah, another thing is don't overwater your garden or your lawn because if you find them in the wild, you always find them near water.
Yeah.
Because they're feeding, they like moist soil, and they're feeding on the rotten organic material in the soil as larvae.
Yeah.
So if don't overwater your lawn, which is a good idea anyways for any purposes, but if you keep your lawn moist, keep your soil moist, you're going to build up the numbers.
Yeah, so in other words, don't water so much, keep a fan on. And any repellent that you know of that's better than the rest, or they're all about the same?
Yeah, pretty much so. For repellents, I prefer the one that contains picaridin.
Yeah.
The one they developed in Australia about 30 years ago. It doesn't have nearly the problems that DEET has.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, listen, great advice, Tim. I appreciate it a whole bunch. And every now and then you send me an email about some fine-tuning stuff. You know, I studied entomology a long time ago, but there's so much to know. You know.
Oh, yeah.
Appreciate it, man.
Yeah,
thank you so much.
See you later.
Stay cool and dry. All righty, now let's go to Bobby. Bobby's calling from Spanish Fort, Alabama. Hey, Bobby, good morning.
Good morning, Feldman. You were talking about my old stomping grounds, Mobile Botanical Garden.
Oh, that's a cool place. Cool, cool place.
I've got a main question, if you have a chance, a lightning round questions. Here we go. 3 years, I got about a 40-foot breezeway, Asian jasmine planted outside of it with boxwood bushes, trees, whatever you want to call them, coming up from the midst of it. One section, I'd say about a 20-foot section, maybe probably 20 foot, of the Asian jasmine.
Just died.
It's nightmarish. It's horrifying to see the battle going on. And then it sort of seems to have spread, hasn't seemed sort of, it has spread into the boxwoods. I tried Fertilome. I've done my research, due diligence. Do I need to just irracinate everything and pull it all up, or is it all just going to die again?
You know, this is a good question. I get this 3 or 4 times a year, and over the years that adds up. And I really can't explain it. There are root disease, there are diseases that can affect them. And I don't want to get too much in that, but it's actually spread by infected mulch. You know, there's a mulch that has a fungus that actually kills boxwoods, and I think it's banned in California, moving mulch from certain places because of that. So there are fungi that can do that. Also, being exposed to extreme dry or extreme wet can set them up for problems the next year even. See, so between cultural things, you know, making sure that it's not bone dry or staying wet from irrigation, and from time to time just pruning it and get a little fertilizer, because there's really not much we can do about the fungus. The fungicides don't kill fungi. They just protect plants temporarily, you know, when the fungus is active. So nothing practical except just, you know, start over. But redo the soil really well, which is not fun.
Okay. If I wanted to, what about cover? Should I go with little stones, pine straw, or leaves, mulch? What would you say? Best answer.
Well, right. I like bark because bark's easy to spread and it lasts long, you know. But,
okay.
You know, but that's just my personal. It breaks down slowly over a period of time, but it lasts a long time. It's easy to pour out, and it sifts itself down and through the plant pretty quickly.
Painting my roof white, does it make any significant difference in the coolness?
Yeah.
What will it last?
I no idea. No idea. Depends on what kind of paint. I've got a tin roof on mine just for that reason. It radiates a lot. Yeah.
Last question. Best hedge as a proxy for a fence or a wall?
There's no such thing because most hedges grow wide as well as tall, and walls are nice and flat. But to me, the best would be lattice fencing with vines on it. But as far as good hedges, there's 4 or 5 great ones, and each has pros and cons. I like ligustrum because it can be sheared, you know, nice and tight. I like the old-fashioned privet, you know, which people always had forever because it can be sheared all the time. But you need something that's real narrow and tight. Down on where you are, you can get away with this stuff called Japanese yew, Y-E-W. It's an upright plant. It's a narrow plant, so it makes a nice wall.
Thank you, Feldman.
Good luck on it. Appreciate your call.
Yes,
all righty. You listen to Gestalt Gardener here, Film and Rushing here, talking about gardening. If you want to give us a call, it's toll-free 1-877-MPB-RING. And by the way, if you want to go to mpbonline.org, click on support. We will send roses and chocolates anywhere to Mother on Mother's Day. Anywhere, $125, chocolates and roses delivered for Mother's Day. Through today and tomorrow, Sunday. Got to do it over the weekend. Website, mpbonline.org. Okay, let's go to Jim. Talk to Jim. Jim, you've been hanging on for a long time from Memphis. How you doing this morning?
Doing great. Good morning. Love your show.
Howdy, thanks. What's up?
Two quick questions. When do you know that your compost is done? I mean, if you leave it in there long enough, it'll turn to dirt. But
yeah,
like
but that's what it is. You know, I can't tell old compost from old manure from old potting soil. You know, it all breaks down to just sort of this crumbly, generic, dark brown stuff. You know, and no chunks, no discernible things. It just crumbly like a bag of potting soil. That's when it's completely done. But, you know, it's ready to use before then. As long as it's broken down into somewhat uniform pieces. You know what hardware cloth is?
Yeah.
I got a little frame with half-inch hardware cloth. I throw it over a trash can. I throw my compost atop, and I sift it. What makes it through, I use. What doesn't, I run back through the compost. But in general, if you don't turn or aerate or do any of that stuff, it's going to take 3 or 4 months for it to really start working. But once you get it started, you have a pretty continuous supply. So anyway, uniform is the thing to look for.
Okay. Well, thank you. Another quick question, honeysuckles vines, they're not blooming.
Which kind of, the Japanese honeysuckle, the native honeysuckle, what?
I got both.
Yeah, the native honeysuckle should start blooming about now. It's been blooming in Jackson, central Mississippi, the past couple of 3-4 weeks, but it's just now coming to its own here. So I would, and the regular honeysuckle has been blooming, the Japanese honeysuckle, for the past 3 or 4 weeks. There's a couple of weeks difference between central Mississippi and yours, so I would say about time.
Okay, if it doesn't start blooming, what could be the problem?
Too much fertilizer. You know, too much fertilizer, too much rain. You know, both of these plants are, you know, they like just miserable conditions. And if you got miserable conditions, they'll bloom better than if you give them, you know, water and fertilizer and all that. You know,
okay.
So long as they get some sunshine and occasional soaking from the rain, maybe a little fertilizer, handful every 3 or 4 years, that's all they need.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Good luck on it. Hey, I appreciate
all
your
right.
call.
Yeah.
Okay, we've got... lots of callers. You want to take some more calls? Now let's do some music. Let's do a little tune. Do a little tune. Again, roses and chocolate for Mother's Day. Go to mpbonline.org up at the very top. Click support. We'll send them to Mother's Day anywhere. Going to be in Tupelo tomorrow morning. Weather permitting, we're going to have a really nice garden tour. It's going to start at St. Luke's Methodist Church. They got craftsmen and artisans there, and tours of gardens, iris gardens, all sorts of fun stuff. 11:30, I'm going to be giving a presentation at St. Luke's Methodist Church. It's going to be on gardening, Southern style. Nice, take it nice and easy. I'm horticulturist Felder Rushing. Java Chapman's in there pushing all the buttons and waving his arms at me when my fingers get too close to anything. And we got Kevin Farrell being the phone greeter. Here at MPB, we love bringing stuff to you. And today is bringing gardening to you. Won't you join us? Toll-free 1-877-MPB-RING.
Some things in life are bad. They can really make you mad. Other things just make you swear and curse. When you're chewing on life's gristle, grumble, give a whistle, and this'll help things turn out for the best. And always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the light side of life. If life seems jolly rotten, there's something you've forgotten, and that's to laugh and smile and dance and sing. When you're feeling in the dumps, don't be silly chumps, just purse your lips and whistle, that's the thing. And
always look on the bright side of life.
Come on.
Always look on the bright side of life.
absurd, and death's the final word. You must always face the curtain with a bow. Forget about your scene, give the audience a grin. Enjoy it, it's your last chance anyhow.
So always look on the bright side of death. Just before you draw your terminal breath.
Life's a piece of when you look at it. Life's a laugh and death's a joke, it's true. You'll see it's all a show, keep them laughing as you go. Just remember that the last laugh is on you. And
always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the right side of life.
Alrighty, folks, welcome back. Horticulture's Felder Rushing here at Mississippi Public Broadcasting. I mentioned I plucked a magnolia flower. Came in. I actually got two magnolia flowers. One is the Little Jim. It's a perfect-sized magnolia tree for everybody's garden. It's really a large shrub or small tree. It doesn't take up time like the monster. A Little Jim. I also got a branch off of a, what do they call it, sweet, I've drawn a total blank, Magnolia virginiana, sweet, I can't think of the name of it. It's a native tree. And a little, anyway, I'll think of it in a little while, but it's a small magnolia. It'll fit in a, it's, you can put your fingers all the way around the perfect little magnolia flower. Sweet something magnolia. The Latin name is Magnolia virginiana, if you want to look it up. Anyway, if you're interested in helping pursue this, you know, I would love to see, and a lot of people would love to see, if we ever have a referendum, get a new flag, I'd love to see the Magnolia State have a magnolia flower, like the Lone Star State, or the Palmetto State. You know, California's got a bear, but something simple. Don't care how you vote or anything like that. If you're interested in that, want a little bit of the background on all the flag stuff, go to magnoliaflowerflag.org. Magnoliaflowerflag.org. It's got a lot of information on one page. Nonprofit, nonpartisan.
This may be a first, Felder, but I know something you don't. Is it Sweet Bay?
Sweet Bay! did somebody tell you that?
Well, Google.
Google. Sweet something magnolia. Sweet Bay, you idiot. Sweet Bay magnolia. It's little small flowers. You can put your, you know, fit in the palm of your hand easily. Anyway, magnoliaflowerflag.org. At least check it out. A lot of stuff going on. We'd like to throw out a few things that I'm doing in my garden, which might give you some ideas of stuff you can be doing. But I'd rather just yak with folks. So let's talk with Gene, who's been hanging on for Mobile for a long time. Hey, Gene, good morning.
Hey, man.
What's up?
That guy was looking for the hedge. You was telling about the Japanese yew.
It gets big.
Well, you could control it. You cut any size you want, and a gnat can't even get through there. But anyway.
It's a good one. And it grows great on the coast.
I need to figure out something to spray on my tomatoes and pepper plants. Or what's a good overall bug or spider or whatever killer that gets rid of stuff, keeps stuff off of them?
Well, you know, there are several things you can use. As far as one general thing, you know, I don't have one. The go-to thing, if you don't mind chemicals, is malathion. But now here's the deal. Malathion, when you mix it with water, Gene, malathion, and most of these organophosphate type insecticides, when you mix them with water, if it's alkaline water, I know in Jackson it is, it starts breaking down pretty quickly. So, you know, if you mix some up this morning and spray it tomorrow, you're spraying smelly water. So mix up what you're going to use at a time, and then try this. Add a little liquid dish detergent to your spray and spray the bottom of the leaves. The liquid dish detergent helps the water spread out and through those little tiny hairs on the bottom of the and stick on better. So
How about using distilled water or something?
Oh, that's fine. It's not that big a deal. Main thing is mix up what you're going to use and use it, and don't keep it till the next day.
Well, you used to use that powder stuff all the time. I can't remember what it's called now.
Seven dust. But see,
yeah, it's supposed to kill everything, but I don't think it works.
But it won't. Seven only kills stuff that bites it. If you got things that chew on a plant, several will work. But if you got little tiny aphids and spider mice and stuff, that it doesn't work at all. So, you know, if you
what had is to, the time limit on that biothon when you mix it up in a bottle? Does it last a week or two before you could throw it out?
No. You mix it up, use it. Once you're done with, be don't. You know,
don't keep it.
No, don't keep it. You know,
okay,
mix
that's
it right.
Find out. I was going to mix up a gallon of it. If that be the case, I'll just mix up a small amount.
Yeah. Now, I got to say this. You know, you feel like you need to use it. There are also, believe it or not, there are some natural sprays that work pretty darn well against most insects.
All right.
They have. There's one called pyrethrin.
I've heard that.
Pyrethrin.
It's flower, right?
That comes from a flower, and it's safe and all like that. Try this also. Spray late in the day. When the insects are all there, by next morning the insecticide won't be affecting bees or anything like that.
Yeah.
So, you know,
well,
just be careful.
I'm just trying to get ready so that when they come in, they're coming. I know they are.
Yeah. Good luck on it, man.
Thank you, man.
All righty.
Bye-bye.
Okay, now let's talk to Carl, calling from Olive Branch. Hey, Carl, good morning.
Morning, Felder.
What's up?
I planted some ash trees about 2011.
Like green ash, those kind of, yeah.
That type tree, yeah, from the Arbor Day type trees.
Mm-hmm.
And they're about, I guess, maybe 30 feet tall, 7 inches in diameter or so now. I've had three in the backyard, one in the front yard. The one in the front yard, the leaves are, I'll say, shriveling up, basically. And
the whole tree or just some of them?
Just some, but it looks like it's throughout the tree, but it's not as full as it has been in the past. The ones in the backyard are okay, but they don't seem to be as full as they have been in the past. I don't know if there was some – what's going on with them is my question.
You know, when I studied plants, I learned the pros and cons in any that have, you know, real diseases or real serious insects or root problems, and none of that comes up, you know, in my head about ashes. I don't know of any major diseases. We do have some beetles that will get into them, the ash borer. You know, that'll get in there, and it may be that you've got an infestation in that tree of those. But you know, I don't know how to tell you to look. So I'm just having a guess. It's also possible, and this is a real possibility. People don't think about this, but lightning can strike a tree without leaving a mark on it. Just like it can strike people and they walk away from it, lightning
right.
can strike a tree, especially one that's got a real straight trunk like those ash trees, and not blow the bark off and just sort of lightly fry it, and it can take months or years for that to show up. So there's always that possibility. But between, you know, weather staying a little too wet this year, or maybe put, you know, cut a root or something, you know, there's some, but root or trunk problems are the most likely cause rather than a pretty common disease. That's what I'm saying.
Well, the same tree in the front has had this in the spring, I mean, early spring, like a, I don't know if it's a, sort of a webby type insect on it that would weep this sort of a white...
On the leaves or on the trunk or what?
On the leaves. And the leaves are curl from that as well.
Yeah, that could be all it is. It could be spider. I don't know. If you can take a really good, clear, close-up picture and shoot it to me, and if I don't know, I can send it to an entomologist, but other than that, I'm just guessing. And I don't mind guessing if I'm comfortable with it, but I'm uncomfortable in this case.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it, Phil.
A good close-up picture, and we'll take it. Otherwise, call the county extension agent there. Get them to come by and take a quick look.
All right. I appreciate it.
Okay. Wish I could help more, Carl.
All right. Thank you.
All right. See ya. All righty. Let me see. Let's go to Dale calling from, where'd Dale go? It disappeared. Let's go to Lee in Jackson. Hey, Lee, good morning.
Hey, Phil. How are you?
I'm fine. I just look at things now and buttons disappear.
I understand. That happens to me, too.
What's up?
I just wanted to remind folks that the Madison County Master Gardeners are having a plant sale tomorrow, Saturday.
Oh, that's right. It's not the library, is it?
No, it's at from 8 until 12, and it's at the location where Tulane College was teaching. That's the corner of Main Street and Highway 51.
Yeah, that's easy to find. You got a bunch of good stuff?
Annuals and perennials, ornamental grasses, native plants, that sort of stuff.
Okay. I don't know that I got an email about that, but I'd heard about it from some other master gardeners. I just forgot about it. But that's Saturday, right?
Right. I had forgotten about it, too, but I better get prepared, hadn't I?
Yes, ma'am. Anyway, hope you all have good weather, Lee.
Well, we're hoping for that, too. Thank you very much.
All right. Appreciate it. You bet. Okay, and there's some, like I say, there's some things I've been doing this week in my garden trying to get ready for summertime, and I want to share those. But let's go up to Starkville and talk to Ann. Good morning, Ann. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well. How are you?
So far, so good. You got a citrus tree question?
Yes. I have a lemon tree and a kumquat tree, and they're both in larger terracotta plants.
Uh-huh.
And my citrus tree gets these, the past 3 years, they're about 4 years old. They've been getting these bright white bugs that are really squishy and dark orange inside. And I look them up and I forget the name.
It's a scale. It's a type of scale.
Scale, interesting. Yeah, well, I was told to get a white paper towel and squish them, and I've been doing that, but I got about 40 this year. And so I'm wondering what I can do to prevent them.
Well, there's a couple of things. And these are sort of stuck to the plant. You can mash them, right?
Yeah,
there's a type of scale, and there's pretty common scale insects that call that because they hatch out, the young ones hatch out from eggs, and they crawl onto new growth and attach themselves, and then they cover themselves with this waxy or sometimes furry scale. It's like an armor. So it's like an armadillo tick on your plant. And once they attach themselves, you know, you can just simply rub them off. You don't have to squeeze, just rub them off. But the problem is, if you want to prevent them, you have to know when the young ones are crawling, and you have to use an insecticide for those. And the timing is, you know, you can't even see them. They're so small. I mean, you can if you know what you're looking for, but they're tiny. And I don't know on yours when that happens, but it typically is going to be in the spring when there's new growth out there. So what I would recommend, even though it sounds like a little bit of a chore, if you were to go ahead and just put on a pair of gloves and just rub them off, you know, every now and then, you know, caress your plants a little bit, that'll take care of the worst of them by far. And not a whole lot more time, you know, and you can do it with a glass of wine in one hand, you know what I'm saying? But in order to use an insecticide that doesn't poison your plant, a systemic insecticide, which I would not recommend on an edible fruit plant, you'd have to use a liquid spray like pyrethrin or something, but it only lasts for a little while, and it only works if the crawlers are there. What some people do, Ann, is they'll spray a dormant oil on the plants, and it smothers them, and that helps. But you have to do that before it gets really, really too hot.
Yeah. So I did that 1 year, and I made a mistake of leaving it on instead of washing it off.
And burned your plant.
The leaves were really, they kind of all let go, and so now my plant's really scrawny.
Yeah. Well, one other thing, did it bloom? Had they bloomed okay this year? So you're going to have...
They bloomed okay, but it's a really scrawny plant. So it's getting weaker each year.
Well, what you might want to do is rejuvenate them a little bit. If they've been in the same pot a long time, and, you know, plants wear their potting soil disappears. It breaks down, and, you know, just like compost manure. So every now and then, every few years, you might want to pull them out, lightly loosen up the roots, and put some fresh potting soil. And that'll invigorate them. But also, you can thin out some of the branches and cut some of them back a little bit to sort of invigorate the plant. Leave a few, cut a few, and this invigorates the plants.
Okay.
But anyway, as far as the scale, I think for a potted plant, just get you a scale glove.
Okay. Yeah.
A scale glove for one hand, a cup of coffee glove for the other hand.
Sounds good.
Good luck on it, Ann. Appreciate your call.
Thank you. Thank you.
All righty, folks. We got plenty of time to talk about gardening. If you want to shoot me email during the week, that works too. garden@mpbonline.org. And while you're there, go to mpbonline.org website and click on support. We'll send roses and chocolates to anywhere, anytime for Mother's Day for a gift to MPB, $125, which is about what roses and chocolates going to cost you. But we'll be glad to send it for that. Let me throw out, before we go to the other calls, a couple of things that I've got going on right now, not because I'm, you know, any different than anybody else, but just give you an idea of the stuff I've done this week. I planted all sorts of stuff, annuals, colorful okras, castor beans, a couple of vines on my vine arbor, lots of annuals, Angelonia, blue salvias. These are plants that bloom all summer, great for butterflies and don't need a bunch of watering and care. I put out some basil, including some African blue basil, which is the best butterfly plant in my garden. Ornamental grasses, native perennial wildflowers are full swing. I've got big buds on my purple coneflowers, summer rudbeckias, and a few others, but my roses are kicking right now, especially one called Caldwell Pink. Caldwell Pink is the most ever-blooming rose. I got a semi-running rose called Red Cascades and a big one called Mutabilis or Butterfly Rose planted over my sweet old spaniel Rusty's grave. All ever-blooming, disease-free. I also tip-prune my figs so that they'll have more bushy shape. You just snip the tips off of them. They'll bush out and have more figs, easier to pick. Rooted some this past year. I'm going to move them this fall. Let me see what else. I pulled a bunch of weeds. I got some old jeans on, got out of the pair of gloves. I pulled weeds, and I threw them out in the sidewalk. And when I got done, I let them dry down a day or so because I was lazy and just needed to go inside and calm down. And after they dried down, I threw them in a big old pile called a leaf pile, my compost thing. And then I mulched everything really well for the heat and dry weather. So I mulched by hand, I weeded by hand, put a bunch of mulch out there, watered everything really well, hoping it'll cause the rain, and pretty well set for the summertime. Would like to throw this out. I participated in a real special ceremony a couple of days ago. Thursday was Beltane. Wednesday was Beltane. I don't know if y'all know what Beltane is. It's May the 1st. It's sort of a druid type of thing where they celebrate, you know, coming of the spring and all like that. Anyway, my friend Jesse Yancey, the gorilla gardener, his folks are from Wales. So I brought back some dirt from Wales. A little bit of dirt from Wales. We went out there, had a little special ceremonial ritual, soiled from the village in Wales. You sprinkled to the north, the south, the east, the west. It's not a cult, not witchcraft, just a thoughtful, kind of a spiritual inoculating nod to Jesse's homeland. So anyway, enjoy that a good bit. Cinco de Mayo coming up, but also I'm going to be in Tupelo tomorrow from 9 till about 11 or so. I'm going to have my truck out there at St. Luke's Methodist Church, and I'm going to be giving a presentation in the church at 11:30 tomorrow. Now, let's go to Dale. Dale, you've been hanging on for a long time from Milledgeville, Tennessee. How are you, sir?
I'm good, sir. How are you today?
Thank you for holding. What's going on up there?
I've got a fig tree that was given to my mom last fall. It was in about a 3-gallon bucket.
Uh-huh.
It was pretty vigorous last fall. It wintered in that 3-gallon bucket, and then in about February, we transplanted that thing.
Yeah.
It had a few leaves on it in February. Proceeded to drop those leaves and has done nothing in the weeks ensuing.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping you've got some kind of silver bullet. I'm hoping this thing is just not awoken from its dormancy.
It could be, Dale. I mentioned earlier, I set a new fig out last year, kind of a special fig, and I cut it back to like 2 feet tall. I mean, that way it's going to bush out closer to ground. I'm going to have a fig bush I can pick instead of a fig tree. But the parts I cut off, I stuck in some dirt, and some of them have leafed out, some haven't, but they got buds on them, so I know they will. Try this, Dale. Go out and scratch on the bark, and if you get that white milky sap coming out of it, it's alive. And that's a good sign. And if you need to, you got a bunch of branches on this thing?
It's got about 5 main branches.
Are they more than a couple of 3 feet tall, long?
No, not any taller than that.
Okay, well, try this. This sounds kind of weird, but if you'll cut the tips off the branches, there's a hormone produced in the tips of branches that flows down stems that actually keeps buds from sprouting. And if you cut the tip off a plant, that hormone is gone, and it's like it's released something. So if you'll go ahead and cut them back an inch or two or three, you know, maybe a little more if you want to, then what's further down will be sort of releasing. It should sprout. As long as you got that white milky sap, if you just cut the tips back a little bit, a lot of times that'll jumpstart them.
All right. I'm going to take your advice and hope for the best.
Does Mama know you're doing all this? She's not listening, is she?
She's not listening, but okay. She knows I want this thing to do well.
Well, give her a hug. Tell her what she can do. Give her a hug, and, you know, she'll give you that little motherly nod, and we'll take it from there.
All right. Thanks for your help.
Good luck, Dale. Appreciate it. Okay, now let's talk to Craig. Craig's calling from the Gulf Coast. We went from north of Memphis all the way down the Gulf Coast in Biloxi. Hey, Craig, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Felder.
What's up?
I just put a blueberry bush in a 5-gallon bucket, and I was wondering how long that will last or if that's big enough.
Well, you know, you can keep them in a bucket for a long time as long as you give it a little fertilizer, some slow-release fertilizer, you know, these little bead-type things. You know what I'm talking about, little fertilizer beads?
Yeah.
Because that way, every time you water, it automatically gives it a little bit of fertilizer, just a little bit. As long as you water it, a little fertilizer, and keep it pruned so it doesn't get too big, they can stay in a pot for a long time.
Okay.
Have you got flowers on it?
I got blueberries on it. It's only 12 or 16 inches high.
Okay. Well, now here's the thing. Is it already got new growth on it besides the stuff? Because the berries were from last year's growth. Has it got that kind of a light green new growth on it?
Yes.
Okay. When it gets a few inches long, snip the tips and the last two or three leaves off of each one of those, and they will bush out. The rest of this year, you'll have more berries next year. Otherwise, they're going to just get tall and leggy. But keep it nice and bushy.
Okay, that's good advice. Thank you.
Okay, appreciate your call. Whew, I think it's going to rain tomorrow. It's supposed to start in late tonight. I kind of like rain. I know we got a lot of plant sales and plant festivals, stuff like that coming up. But at the same time, rain is what keeps us from being West Texas. I was in Texas last week, and no, thank you. I really appreciate our good soaking rain. Anyway, if you've got some things going on that I can help with, shoot me an email, garden@mpbonline.org. Got a lot of fun stuff going on. Got Mother's Day coming up next weekend. Cinco de Mayo this weekend. Going to look forward to seeing some folks at St. Luke's Methodist in Tupelo tomorrow, 11:30. And again, if you go to mpbonline.org at the very top, got a thing that says support. Click on that. And for about the cost of what roses and chocolates would cost you, we will send them to you anywhere. $125 gift to MPB and to Mom's Honor. We'll send a roses and chocolate anywhere for Mother's Day. I'm Horticulture's Felder Rushing. Me and Java Chapman and Kevin Farrell, all the other folks here at MPB, hope you have a great weekend. Hope you have a safe weekend. Hope you get some gardening done. And if you get a chance, take a kid to a farmer's market. Take a child to a garden center. Give them $5 worth of gift that can give for a lifetime. Teach them to do what we do best, folks. We love sharing what we do. We're determined individual gardeners, whether they belong to clubs or not. Here at MPB, we'd love to get together with you every week. So, meanwhile, it's time to go outside and do what we do best, and that's get dirty. See y'all next week.